It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 23. We're going to begin reading with the 14th verse today. So please open your Bibles and look to the Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341, and our email address is parkviewbiblechurch.org if you would like to check that site out, and I hope that you do. Okay, I hope that was enough time for you to begin the study today. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I command thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear from me empty, before me empty. The feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. Neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seeth a kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions from my name, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto, bring ye in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quit break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless my bread, thy bread, and thy water, and will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people of whom thou shalt come. I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased, and inherit the land. I will set thy bonds from the Red Sea, the bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make their sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. That's a beautiful reading of God's Word. Let's begin with prayer now. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. Please that you show me your way and will. Each and every day, I need your will. I need your way. And, dear Father, everyone that is listening today needs the same. And especially, dear Lord, if those that are listening today have never come to you, called upon you to be their Savior, if they have never recognized that they're a sinner and they're lost, and, dear Father, too many and so many today have realized that you're God, or they call upon you anyway, but they have never recognized their condition, that they're a sinner and they're lost, and they have never truly called upon you. We need to have a personal relationship with you, dear Father, and we have that personal relationship by coming to your Son, the Lord Jesus. Your precious Spirit shows us our sin, convicts us, and introduces us to your Son, the Lord Jesus, to save us and to keep us. I thank and praise you, Father, for that great gift of salvation. And I ask that no one miss it. No one through their mental, their thinking, that they would decide that, no, I don't need to do that. Oh, dear Father, every person that's ever lived must call upon you. They must ask you to come into their heart and to save them. It's a must. We have to do it. It's not an option. So please today recognize your sin and how lost and miserable you are, and how that you need Jesus Christ, and call upon him for salvation today. Please do that. Please, I just beg you today, that today be the, and the day, today is the day of salvation, the Word of God tells us. Father, please, speak to our hearts as we have come to you today to learn from you. Grow us now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in a year. 3 times. There are actually 7 feasts, if you include the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Most people join those two together because they do go on at the same time. But the at the same time of the year, or the same celebration. But there is actually 2 separate feasts. One's the Passover. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We have the Passover. We have the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacle. Now here we're just looking at 3 of those, and the 3 that we're looking at here in the 14th verse of the 23rd chapter of Exodus, those 3 are the 3 that they need to travel back to Jerusalem for. Now, these people, again, don't even know where Jerusalem is. They don't even know anything about this great city that God is going to put his name up on. And so it's so important that we look to the Word of God to see its truths, to see exactly what our dear Savior is doing for us. It is wonderful to praise God and to serve God, and there is a purpose for each one of these things. So please, that we don't miss that purpose and miss that way. And once again, we are looking now at 3 of the feasts. Those 3 are the Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacle. Now, you'll notice that there are different names here. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover, again, are 2 separate ones, but everything, its purpose is the same. And so the Passover was the place of the sacrifice. And then they call it the Feast of the Passover, or the Passover itself. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread that we're talking about here is the festival that follows it, and it lasts many days, 7 days, as we're looking here. And so we need to see that this first feast, this Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Passover, as we looked at that, thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I command thee. There was no leaven that was to go in. Leaven stands for sin. And so our Savior, Jesus Christ, that died at Passover to save us, was sinless. And so during this time of Passover, there was to be no leaven, no evidence of sin, because the sin has been taken away. And what a wonderful picture that we have. And they're to be reminded of that when they do this feast of Passover. And we will, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we will be looking at this as it continues in other areas of God's Word to help us to see exactly what we are talking about and looking at in these feasts and festivals. Of course, the first Passover, it was instituted before anything else, and it came about when they left Egypt. I don't know if you remember, it has not been so long ago with the in God's Word, but it has been several months that have passed since we have looked at the time when they left Egypt. And remember all the plagues that was laid upon the Egyptians because they were not, Pharaoh would not let God's people go. One after another of these plagues. And of course, the final plague. The final one came at the death of the firstborn. And that was the firstborn of the animals, the firstborn of the male children. All firstborn died. And what a horrible day that was in the land of Egypt. They had been devastated by so many plagues already, and now for their firstborn to die. Death was present. Death was everywhere. And it's the same way today. Death is certain, and death is everywhere. But miraculously, through God's power, Israel was saved. But not all Israel was saved. God gave instructions. He told them what to do. He told them how that the animal was to be offered, to sacrificed. He told them about applying of the blood. Everything was to be done properly and with haste. And it was. It was followed. But if someone chose, if one of the Israelites decided that is unnecessary, if that was decided and they did not kill the animal, or they killed the animal and they didn't apply the blood, because you see, that's what I'm telling you, that you must come by faith to Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you that this church is the only church that preaches the truth, and if you don't come here, you're not saved. Now, there's many denominations that teach that. There's many that teach that if you are not in this church, and not necessarily that church, but in that denomination, if you don't stay with our beliefs, then you're hell bound. That's it. Well, that's not true at all, because it does not come down to the point where you have to follow a certain religion here upon earth to be saved. What you have to follow is the Word of God. And the Word of God, clear back here in Exodus, and we can go all the way back to the coats, the skins that God slaughtered the animals and put those bloody coats upon Adam and Eve. That's where it started, giving us this beautiful picture of the need of the blood of Jesus Christ to save us. And if you don't come by faith to Him and trust in Him, then there is no means of salvation. There's no forgiveness of sins, and the only thing that can come is that you spend eternity in the lake of fire in the total and complete absence of God, because you're neglecting that free gift that He's handing you. And so we have this Passover, this Feast of Unleavened Bread. And again, the Passover was a sacrifice itself, being the Lord Jesus. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was the feast that followed. But sin, unleavened bread, there was no sin. This time, there are many, and we find that Pentecost, it says that it is the beginning of the harvest. The Feast of Tabernacles is the close of the harvest. But with the different grains and fruit that was raised, to be raised in the land, why, there are many different times different harvests. And these three, the Passover or the unleavened bread, the second we find in verse 16, the Feast of Harvest, and the third in the 16th verse is the Feast of Ingathering. Now those, again, there are many names to these, and one is Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The second, as it says here, the Feast of Harvest. It's known as the Feast of Harvest, Feast of Weeks, Feast of First Fruits. Also, it is known as Pentecost. And we know in the book of Acts, particularly that Pentecost, was the Passover when Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and rose again. The following Pentecost, that following time, was a time when the birth of the church and the Holy Spirit for the first time came down and indwelt the believers. Before, the Holy Spirit was present, as it would be to you as a lost person that's not come by faith. We're talking about this decision again. We're talking about inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart. That doesn't just happen. Universal salvation is not real. It's a false teaching. It's a lie. You must come. You must decide to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I ask today that you do that, that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He offered His life for you. And at Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit come to, for the first time, indwell the believers. And to this day, we're still in the church age. The Holy Spirit still, upon you accepting Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And you will never forget that day, that time. If you don't know that time, you're not saved. It's just that simple. And I'm not talking about going to the calendar and looking back 10 years or 20 years or 30 years and going right to that very, a certain day in February or in March or in April or whatever it might have been, and then it was at 2:15, you know, I know the very place where I was saved. And I remember that time clearly. Can I give you the date on the calendar? No, I can't. Can you give you the time on the clock? No, I can't. But I can go to that experience. And if you haven't had that experience, if you don't remember the day that you invited personally yourself, not your mom, not your preacher, not anybody else that has done it for you, but you, and that can't come through your confirmation time, that instruction of the confirmation, that teaching can bring you to a place where you invite Jesus Christ in. But it is you and you alone. It is not a universal thing. The whole class can't do it. Oh, they could, but they won't. Because it's a personal thing, very personal. So trust in Jesus Christ today. But the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost. But that's some other names for it that you'll find in the Word of God. Feast of Harvest, Feast of First Fruits, and Feast of Weeks. There again, there is different grains. And the 7 weeks, the Feast of Weeks, it is 7 weeks after the sickle has been placed to the grain. That's what that is. And so there's a type of harvest going on here. Actually, this is placed at summertime. The Passover is in spring. The Pentecost is summer. And then we'll find the Feast of Tabernacles is in the fall. And we have that in many names of that feast as well. Feast of Jehovah. It too is called Feast of Harvest. It too is a feast of ingathering, and we have that right here in the 16th verse of chapter 23. It's a feast of ingathering. It's also known as the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tents, or the most well-known is the Feast of Tabernacle. And so the Passover, or Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacle is exactly the three feasts that they were to, as a male, as a man, they were to travel back to Jerusalem. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. And what he was saying, again, there is, and then verse 17 confirms that, 3 times in a year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Now, they didn't have any idea what God was talking about here as they were hearing these words as we go from God to Moses down to the people, they had no idea what they were talking about, because at that time, again, the city of Jerusalem was non-existent. God took that city, built that city, chose that city to be his and to put his name upon it. And he's telling these people that I want you to come three times a year. I'm making it easy. It's not in the winter time. It's not in the middle of harvest. It's between harvests. It is a time when you can come. I want you three times a year to come to me. And that's actually what he was saying. I want you to come before me and bow down before me. Now, there was many things to do through the year at home, but they were to travel to Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem, God put his name upon that place. There was the temple there. And even when the Judah and Israel both were taken captive and went off into Assyria and into Babylon for into captivity for 70 years, even then, they were to look, Ezekiel tells us, they're to look towards Jerusalem. When they was to pray, Daniel prayed towards Jerusalem, because that is where their God was. See, God came to dwell with the people of Israel. And if you wanted salvation, then you had to come and join. You need to be a proselyte. You need to join up with Israel, with the Jews. That was the way of that time, of the Old Testament. That's the only time, if you wanted to know the true God, then you needed to follow after. You need to be in Jerusalem at these three feasts, the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacle. Why do you think that there was such a multitude of people? Why do you think God chose to speak in so many different languages at Pentecost? There was a purpose there. It wasn't the gibberish that goes on today in many churches when nobody can understand, and then there's an interpreter that stands there that says they understand, but there is no purpose for it. There's no gain. The purpose of the tongue, the different languages, was to present the gospel to all the world, and that was accomplished at one place, and that was at Pentecost, because all these male Jews, all these people came unto Jerusalem for the feasts that they were commanded to come. And so, being different dialects and knowing different languages, even though they were all Jews or proselytes, whoever came, whoever attended, they still needed to hear the word of God. And God presented, through Peter, the gospel. He gave the gospel. That's the purpose. And today, if you would like to have the tongues that are so misused and abused, God could still take my voice, and he could use it over this radio if he'd choose to. He could take my voice, and he could turn my words into words that you could hear. Someone that does not understand English understands another language. He could take my words, and it would sound as if I was speaking the most fluent language that they needed to hear, only for the gospel, so that they could hear the gospel. That was the purpose. That was the purpose, was for them, for salvation to come to their heart. And once salvation come, then the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we have the great teacher. Now, I love teaching God's word, but if it's not for the Holy Spirit that's within the heart of the believer, there's nothing to be gained. But because every believer has the Holy Spirit, when I speak the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can apply it to your heart however you need it. What a wonderful opportunity that we have. And these three times, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacle, they was to travel back to Jerusalem to literally bow down before their God. And God says, don't come empty-handed. It says it up here in the 15th verse. But don't come empty. You need to bring an offering, bring a sacrifice, because you need to come and you need to bring it. And it is so important that we see that, because today, so often, when a person comes into the house of God, and God promises where two or more are gathered, that he'll be there with a special power. But how many times do you come with no offering, with no sacrifice? You do not come in to help build and help feed the Word of God to others. You're not coming to build the church and strengthen the church. You do not bring your tithes and offerings unto the local church where God has commanded you to do that. Instead of that, you come and you said, okay, give. I want. Give me something. Give me something. That's what the church seems to be today. Come so I can get my ears tickled. We've brought all the bands and the music and all the garbage and the filth into the church. This music of this Christian rock. Oh, my friend, if you're mixed up in that, get out. It is not of God. It's of the devil. There's no question, no question. It is devil-driven. Don't let your children have anything to do with it, because they'll immediately go into the rock music. And, you know, they don't even have to, because they're listening to Christian rock. It's the same. He said, well, you know, it's different things. No, you go back to those old hymns, and you let those old hymns speak to your heart. Today, nobody owns a hymn book. Everybody's got it up on the screen. You say a few, sing a few choruses. You have a preacher preach a sermonette, and you go home, and your ears are tickled, and you've listened to the guitars and the drums and all the stuff that's up on the platform, and you've probably got your hands a-waving in the air, and boy, I just feel so good, and yet the Holy Spirit has not touched your heart. The Holy Spirit touches your heart when it's quiet. You get the Word of God. You listen, and you come before God bringing something. You come before God sharing. You don't come before God looking for something. Oh, I didn't get nothing out of that message today. Probably didn't. But I promise you it was there. If the Word of God is opened, if the Word of God is read, it was present. So you see, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread in 15, the Feast of Harvest in 16, the Feast of Ingathering, and also in the 16th verse, which is the end of the year when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times, verse 17 now, three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. You see, Jesus Christ is our perfect sacrifice, and there is no sin. Neither shall the fat of the sacrifice remain until morning. First, the first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seeth a kid in the mother's milk. There was a superstition at the time that the end of the harvest you would take the milk of this certain goat, and you would sprinkle that over the land, and that way next year it would be fruitful. And God's bringing that to a stop. He said, that's a bunch of nonsense. I'm the one that's going to bless you if there's a blessing to be given. It doesn't come from some superstitious nonsense. And today we follow after much of that. And we need to see that we don't. The next section here, and we're out of time, and so we're going to wait and begin that, because it's a beautiful section, how God is going to deliver the enemies into their hands as the time comes. And so we need to be looking to that and preparing for that. And please read the rest of this chapter once again, and be ready for us the next time we come together to enjoy studying God's Word. But look at that now. There's three times that they're going to travel. There's three times specifically that they will come as a group and bow down before God. They are in unity. They're in complete agreement. This is no promise-keepers activity when all different religions and different beliefs come together. They have one belief. They are following after, specifically, clearly, the Word of God. And His Word commands that they come. It tells them how to come. It tells them when to come. We have to be in unity with the doctrines of the Word of God. We cannot come together and expect any kind of blessing of God when we do not come with knowing the truth and staying upon the Word of God. My dear friends, it's been a wonderful study. I hope that you've enjoyed it. My question always comes, what are you going to do about Jesus?